We begin the new sugya. The Mishnah told us when you have a dintara of shnayim ochzim metalas, so sometimes you have a stand of shnayim ochzim metalas, each one tiding that they own the whole thing, and sometimes you have a little bit of a convoluted case. So one guy says he owns the whole talas, and the other guy says he only owns chetzia. So what do you do? So the one thing the Mishnah says clearly what you do. The Mishnah says, so you, the first half you give to the person there's no dintara about, the person is towing kulishli, and the other half it's back to the dintara. So you split that. So simple math adds up to how much one guy gets. Advanced, one gets 3/4, one guy gets 1/4. That's the din of Mishnah, no shaila about it. So we spent a lot of time the last 2 weeks with the question of the Rishonim, hey, wait a second, why does the guy who tied in Chetzi Shali only end up with a Raviyah? He should have really ended up with a Chetzi Shali because he has Amigo. Well, we had to explain why it is Amigo, not Amigo. Took us on a whole tangent in terms of what was Amigos throughout the Metziah of Basra. Now come to Rishonim and ask a different question, really from the other end of the spectrum. Come to Rishonim and say, wait a second, okay, Zolzayin, you solved the Migo problem, why the guy who said Chetzishli doesn't walk away with Chetzishli, but now we have to ask the reverse question, namely, why does he get anything? We should give everything to the guy who tied his Kula Shali. So what's that based on? So comes Taisus, it opens up a discussion, and all the Rishonim follow suit, with a brand new klal. A klal we never heard of. We learned from Metziah Dabez, never heard, doesn't appear in the Gemara, at all above Metziah, doesn't appear almost anywhere in Shas. Comes the Gemara and say, comes the Rishonim and say, we should apply a principle called Ein Safek Meitzi Midei Vadei. What does that mean? Very simple. You have two Bali Din over here. One guy we know is entitled to something. The guy who says Kula Shali, in contrast to the guy who says Chetzi Shali. So the guy who says Kula Shali for sure is going to get a half. That's not even a Shaila. So he's a Vadei. The other person is a Safek. We don't know whether he's telling the truth or not. So let's plug in a new principle called Ein Safek Meitzi Midei Vadei and give everything to the guy who says Kula Shali. That's Taisus Kasha. You have to understand where in the world Taisus is coming from, what kind of a cloud is this all about, and then begin to appreciate, is this a good question? It's not a good question, what's the possible answers to this principle that we're not even sure where it comes from in the first place. So this cloud of Ein Safek Motzim Devadai is not a brand new cloud to us. It does exist in other places in Shas. There is a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim that invokes the principle called Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. There's a Gemara in the first Pech of Maseches Chulin talks about the principle called Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. So Taisus didn't make up this principle called Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. The only problem is that the context that Chazal use it, both in Pesachim and Chulin, has absolutely nothing to do the way Taisus is using it in the Metziah Daf Beis. Ein Safek Motzim Devadai, in Pesachim and Chulin, for that matter, has absolutely nothing to do with the Nimamnus. It's not talking about who has a better tain, who has a better tviya. Zero, zippo, nothing to do with Shnei Mochzim Metalas. It's in the realm of Isurim. There is such a principle. If you know that you have an Isser on your hand in one direction, and you're not sure that you have a Hetzer on your hand in the other direction, then we have a question called Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. Or, maybe even in the other way. Let's say you know you have a possible Hetzer, and you're not sure you even have an Isser. So that's also a potential shayla of Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. So there's a lot of shaylas about the Gemara's Sugya Nuch HaShchita, person shechted an animal, and now he realizes that his knife has a nick, has a pegima on it. So if you shecht an animal with a knife that's pogam, the shechita is nevela. So you're trying to figure out where did the pegima come from. Did the pegima come before the shechita? Did it come after the shechita? Is there something that you did before the shechita to cause the pegima? Is there something you did after the shechita to cause the pegima? So the Gemara starts pulling with those klolim called Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. Well, the Gemara says a person goes to the mikvah, and they come out of the mikvah and they realize there's a chatzitza on their body. So they don't know, was the chatzitza there before? Did the chatzitza come afterwards? What, did they touch something afterwards for sure? Did they touch something afterwards be suffix? Did they touch something before the vada? So the Gemara has all these pilpable, all these klalim, sugyas, rishayim, klalim shulchan aruch about the principles of Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. But that has nothing to do with dinim amunus. That's in terms of cheshbing out isav hetter, when we have a problem in your day and when we don't have a problem in your day. He was trying to use a principle in cheshem mishpat to decide a shalom din Torah. Whoever heard of Ein Safek Motzim Devadai? So Taisus once again has to press the button on Shas. The Bali of Taisus had Kol Torah Kul in front of them as they were learning about Metziah Daf Beis. So the first masechta that came to mind was what? Yivamus. Why was that the first masechta that came to mind? Because that's what they learned the year before. For Shteitzach, they followed the machzor of the yeshiva. So come the Bali HaTayis and Metziah Daf Beis and bring back fond memories from the Maseches Yevamos. Those who were with us last year will just, I can't, just the nostalgia is just getting, just taking me over. I'm starting to tear. The new guys, I hope, will appreciate the warm feeling and the cozy, fuzzy feelings that we have when we discuss Maseches Yevamos. Just there's nothing like it. So Rabbi Sai comes Taisus and refers you to a sugya in the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos. Now, those who were with us last year, we learned part of the fourth parak of Maseches Yevamos, but we didn't learn this sugya, right? Anyone remembers? We did not discuss the sugya. Anyone knows why we didn't learn the sugya? Because I knew it was coming in the days this year. So I figured, why should I learn it in June? In the end of May, we can push it off to September. So we here we are. It's the postscript of Maseches Yevamos, the beginning of Maseches Bamitzi. In order to understand the Klal of Ein Sof, we have to take 10 steps back in terms of understanding just the ABCs of what was supposed to happen in Maseches Yevamos and what wasn't supposed to happen in Maseches Yevamos. So this is what happens. I'm shaking with this excitement. For those who are never in the Shir, let me introduce you to some principles. Okay? What should we do? Straight line or arrow line? Come on. Okay, make arrows, make people marry first. Okay, we like people being married. Okay. Reuven is married to Rachel. This is the international symbol of being married, two arrows, okay? We call it a connect sign. Those in the business. Okay. Reuven and Rachel are married to one another, okay? Reuven, what's the international symbol for a person dies? Okay. Reuven dies, all right? But Rachel falls to Yibam to Shimon, okay? So we got a brother over here. I should have put him over there, but okay, fine. We got straight line as a brother. Okay, so what is supposed to happen is that Rachel is supposed to marry Shimon, right? That's Yibum, that's what we expect, that's what we like to happen, okay? But, not so fast. Rachel is only supposed to marry Shimon if what? What piece of information has to be ascertained? That Reuben doesn't have any children, okay? If Reuben has a child already, that's a big problem. We would not want that Yibum to take place. That would be an Isser Kares. Anytime when you marry Eshes Achiv, Shlobo Machom Yibum, that's an Isser Dirais, an Isser Kares. Child's a mom's. Okay? So the last thing we want in the world to happen is that Rachel should go do Yibum without first ascertaining that Reuben doesn't have a child. How do we ascertain whether Reuben has a child? Very simple. You have to wait for 3 months. That's the famous Mishnah that says, Ishalot Tisyabin, Lotachlot, such a Tisha, Shlosh Chadashim. You have to wait 3 months. In the days of Chazal, the only way to figure out the woman is pregnant, but you have to wait 3 months. Fine. That's what we call Havchana. So after 3 months are over, then if she's not pregnant, then she does Yibum. If she is pregnant, then she's okay. But they never learned Yivamos. They go to yeshivas and don't learn Yivamos. Only once every 60, 70 years. So this guy was not in the Machzor. He never learned Yivamos. All right? And he's a big tzaddik. He read Parshas Peseitzik. He ate Shmachim Yachdav. So he wants to go ahead and do Yibum. So Shimon goes and jumps the gun and does Yibum on Rachel a little bit too early. Okay? And now what happens? What? And now, lo and behold, 8 months later, what happens? There's a baby born, okay? So Rachel has a baby 8 months later. We have a problem. We don't know who is the father of this baby. We're not sure, is the father of the baby Reuven, or is the father of the baby Shimon, okay? So this was a big problem. This wasn't supposed to happen. We have issues now. The Gemara discusses, well, is it really Yichus' problem, not Yichus' problem, Manushim, whatever. Okay, not for now. I'll leave you out the details. The bottom line is that this wasn't supposed to happen, but now it happened. So now we have a baby that's here, that the only one we really know, the only parent of this child that we know, is Rachel, but we don't know whether this child is Reuven's child or whether it's Shimon's child. So we're going to call this child Levi, but we have a problem because we don't know where to draw the line to, okay? So we're going to have to draw... Okay, it's a suffix, okay? We're not sure who the father is, okay? So life continues like this, and now things get a little bit more labored. What happens next? What? Oh, so it was a father up here, okay? The Zayde, right? Yaakov had children, Yaakov had Reuven, and Yaakov had Shimon, and now Yaakov dies. This is no longer Yibam Shaila, now this becomes a Yerusha Shaila. The question is, who exactly are the Yerushim? So now we have a very serious Din Torah on our hands. Why? Because depending on who Levi is, we will or will not have a Din Torah. If Levi is Shimon's child, there's no other brother around. If Levi is Shimon's child, what happens to the Yerusha? Where's it goes to Shimon? Does Levi have a claim? I mean, nothing. He's a grandchild. The grandchild has no claim if his father's alive. So if Shimon is the father of Levi, then Shimon gets the whole Yerusha and finished. What if Reuven is the father of Levi? Now what's the Din? If Yaakov dies and he has two sons, one's alive and one's dead, But then the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Bava Basra, you split up his Yerusha, half it goes to the live son, leaving out the Chor right now, half it goes to the live son, and half it goes to the dead son. What's the dead son going to do with Yerusha? The answer is, as it did in Hukas Yerusha, what's called Mishmush Nachala. Mishmush means that a person can be Yeresh, what's called Yerusha Bekever. Even though the person is dead, they can be Yeresh, quote unquote, but they can do the money. They obviously can't own money when they're dead, but they have the ability to push that money down to the next generation, whoever their Yerushim are. So when Yaakov dies and he leaves $1,000, so if we know for a fact that Levi is Shimon's child, Levi gets nothing. If we would know for a fact that Levi is Reuben's child, then Levi would get what? Levi would get 50-50, he would split with Shimon. Since we don't know, so now what do you do? So now they're coming to a Din Torah. So what do you do? So what does the Gemara say? If you would ask me, what would I have said? I would have said, it's 50-50, right? Split it. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, "Ein suffik meitzi midei v'hadai." That's the clout that Tosfos is quoting. This is what the Gemara calls the case. It's a suffik v'yavam v'nichsei saba. That's the case of the Gemara. There are about 10 scenarios there, but this is the case we're talking about. This is the case of suffik v'yavam v'nichsei saba. So comes the Gemara and says, "Who wins the Din Torah? Shimon wins the Din Torah hands down." Why does Shimon win the Din Torah hands down? Because Shimon is a vadai. Shimon for sure gets something. Shimon is for sure in the parasha, no matter what, no matter who Levi is, but a Levi is a son, whether he's his nephew, Shimon for sure gets something. Levi, we're not sure whether he's entitled to anything. So since Levi is a suffik and Shimon is a vadai, ain't suffik meitzim dei vadai. Ad kan devir gemar Maseches Yevamos. So comes Tosfos and looked at Bava Metzia through the eyes of Maseches Yevamos. And Tosfos says, this is the exact same thing. That just as over here we say that ain't suffik meitzim dei vadai, and Shimon gets the upper hand, Shimon wins the entire Din Torah. So too by the Kula Shali and the Chetzi Shali, it should be the exact same thing. Because here, the one who says Kula Shali is for sure something, he's a Vadai. Whereas the guy who says Chetzi Shali is not necessarily anything. So ain't something most of the Vadai. That's the premise of Tosfos Kasha. So in order to appreciate Tosfos Kasha, we have to go a step back and really learn the Gemara Maseches Yevamos carefully. What is the nature of this din, ain't suffik much from Devada? What do the words mean, ain't suffik much from Devada? Translate to me, what does suffik mean, or what does vada mean? So if you look carefully at the Rishonim, you'll see there are two radically different approaches to literally what the taich of the suffik and the vada is, and that's going to make all the difference in the world, whether it's applicable to our sugyan. Comes Rashi, in Maseches Yevamos, and seems to tell us that suffik and vada is a question of dollars and cents. Namely, do you have some share to this property? Do you have some claim in this property? You're going to walk to the bank with something, then you're a vadai. If we're not even sure you're going to walk to the bank with anything, that's called a suffik. So therefore, says Rashi, in this case, no matter what happens, no matter how it's going to play out, whether we have Ruach HaKodesh, if we know that Levi is the son of Reuben, whether we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, no matter what we find out, Shimon got money to deposit. Yaakov died, there's $1,000 of Yerusha. Shimon's going to the bank no matter what. We don't know whether he's going to the bank with $500, we don't know he's going back with $1,000. But he's v'sichah going to the bank. Levi, we don't really know what he's going to the bank. Because if the facts really are, Lu Yitzu, we had Ruach HaKodesh, that we checked his DNA and it comes out that Levi is Taka Shimon's son, he's not Reuven's son, then Levi goes to the bank with nothing. He's got nothing to deposit. So comes Rashi and says, that's what Ein Suffik Matzah Devadai means. It means at the end of the Din Torah, no matter what happens, I'm entitled to something. You're not necessarily entitled to anything. Then we plug in the cloud called Ein Suffik Matzah Devadai. That's Rashi's version of Ein Suffik Matzah Devadai. Comes Tosfos and says, that's not Ein Suffik Matzah Devadai. It has nothing to do with dollars and cents. It has nothing to do with who has money in the bank. Zero. Comes Tosfos, and Tosfos doesn't use these terms, but we're going to plug these terms into Tosfos because I don't see how to read Tosfos any other way. Comes Tosfos and says, it's not a question of who has money, who doesn't have money. It's a question of a who, of a what. Of a what? Of a shame yeresh, Zoptesis. A gavra. Are you a baldover here? Are you someone? Are you a shame yeresh? Is it chal on you, a shame yeresh? Or is it not chal on you, a shame yeresh? Yaakov dies, and we're trying to figure out who are Yaakov's yereshim. All the yereshim, please line up. So Shimon lines up. Shimon's a yeresh. No matter what he's entitled to, $50, $100, $1,000, find out, no matter what the dollars, is a luch probably with thousands and cents are, Shimon's on the line of Vada Yershim. He has a shame Yerish chal on him. Levi? That's exactly what we're trying to be down on. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Is Levi a Yerish or is Levi not a Yerish? It's not like, don't bother me with dollars and cents. That's a loch patli. I don't really care about that. What I care is the Gavra labeled? Does he have a category? Is he labeled with a category of a Yerish or is he not a Yerish? Now the Yemes is, in this case, it's not going to make much of a difference. Because the Gemara says, Beferish, Safik V'yam Rechsei Saba, the Gemara plugs it in Safik Motsim Nevadim. So my nafkamina, whether we talk about dollars and cents like Rashi, whether we talk about very elusive Lomdish Hashem Yerish in the Briska world, El Masal Yoinim, of Taisus. In the end of the day, it's the same thing. So my nafkamina, whether we define Safik Nevadim in terms of money, or we define it in terms of Hashem Yerish. So the Chod is going to be a big nafkamina, but not in this case. Before we get to Shnei Mechazim, one of the confusing sugyas in Shas, hopefully everyone was able to figure it out, the long Rashbam, and then some, in the end of Maseches Bava Basra, it's part of a whole series of very complicated sugyas. Now just in case you thought Bava Basra was easy, and you finally figured, okay, I made it to Kufnun Tess already, I'm already, coast the rest of the way home, so then you get a little bit disappointed, because the last three blot are very, very hard, the sugyas of Nafla Bayis Alav. After you finish the sugyas of Nafla Bayis, so you figure out, Baruch Hashem, we finally get to the last perek. It's got to be easy from here on in. And then you see the name of the perek, you're really, really happy. Called Get Pashut. You figure that was Chazal's drill. I think that was Rabbi Yudanus. It's a little bit of a cynicism that he called the perek Get Pashut. It's probably the hardest perek in Shas. Get Pashut. You can't figure out coming and going from the first line of the Mishnah. So whatever it's called. Bas is a tough Masechta. So basically, as the few men say, it ain't prophets. Okay. So Rabbi say, comes the Mishnah Nafal Abayis and starts to speak about these convoluted, crazy cases about a house falling down, two people, we're not sure who died first, who's Yorish what. We need a lot of background in order to understand what the facts behind the case are, what the case is, and then to see what the applicability of Suffolk and Ba'adai are. So comes the Mishnah discusses Nafal Abayis Alov Al Imo. Okay, so you have two people, you have Yosef, and you have Rachel, okay? Not going to make our signs yet, we'll make them soon, okay? If Yosef and Rachel, so the relationship between the two is, Rachel is the mother, and Yosef is the child, okay? Now, when Rachel dies, let's say leaving out houses, collapsing, and earthquakes, when Rachel dies, a very normal straight case, Rachel dies, who's Yerusha Rachel? What's the order of Yerusha? A woman dies, who's Yerusha? So the first person, the first cracks at her Yerusha is who? Is the husband. How do you know that? Husband? Is that Tanoim, right? So some Tanoim say, it's Yerusha D'Araisa. A Baal is Yerusha's Ishto Midaraisa. The Yerusha saw, that Poskim Pashas Pinchas is referring to Yerusha's Baal. And other Tanoim say, no, there's no such thing. Yerusha's Baal is on a Midirabonim. That's Machlekes HaTanoim. Machlekes HaRishonim. Whether Yerusha's Baal is at Tekhanas Lachamim, whether Yerusha's Baal is at Din D'Araisa. It doesn't really make much of a difference. Everybody agrees that he's the first crack. He's the D'Araisa, he's the first Yerush. So from the mere fact that the Mishnah is talking about the significance of a son yarshining a mother, automatically indicates that the husband's not here. The husband's long gone, the husband's dead, the husband's never here, whatever. Husband's not at play here. So don't get me going confused with the Rish Seba. So who's the second option? Who's Yoresh, a woman, if a woman dies and she doesn't have a husband? Who's the next Yoresh? Her child is Yoresh. How do you know the child is Yoresh? Where does it say the child is Yerusha mother? How do you know? Where does it say the child is Yerusha mother? Where does it say the child is Yerusha father? That's the Pasuk Chumash. That's Pashas Pinchas, right? Ish ki yamus uvein ein lon, so that's not a sola vita, right? The Torah says beferish, that a man dies, so the first cracks go to the son, there's no son, then it goes to a daughter. So the fact that a child is Yerusha father, that's no great. The Chochmah, that's a ferish apostle. How do you know that a person is Yerusha? Mother is more complicated. Why would anybody think that a mother is different than a father? Any reason why? Is it? Because the first sugi in Yeshneichel, in the eighth parak of Bava Basra, says that there's a basic fundamental principle of Yerusha, and that's called Mishpacha. The Torah says, that the dinim of Yerusha always goes derech HaMishpacha. We have a rule called Mishpachas Av Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eim Eina Kriya Mishpacha. The Mishpachasim Beis Avaisim Ksiv. That a person's Mishpacha is defined by his father. Whether a person is Jewish or not is defined by his mother. But once we ascertain the person is Jewish, now you're trying to figure out which Mishpacha he belongs to. Mishpacha means, are you Reuven, are you Shimon, are you Levi, which Shevet do you come from? So Mishpacha is always defined by the father. Right? The son goes after his father vis-a-vis Hilchos Mishpacha. So l'chora, based on the regular dinim of Parshas Pinchas, I would have come to the conclusion that there's no such thing. A woman dies, why should a son yashina? The son is not from HaMishpacha. Let's say, I don't know what shevet my mother comes from. Most of us don't know what shvatim our parents come from. We don't know what shvatim we come from. But let's say, Liyitzud, my mother came from Shevet Naphtali. So I wouldn't be a descendant of Shevet Naphtali. My father's from Reuben. I'm a Shevet Reuben. I'm not a Shevet Naphtali. So I have no shaychus in terms of hilchos shevet to my mother's shevet. I have no shaychus to my mother's mishpacha in the halachic sense of the word. I mean, mishpacha, you know, colloquially, we're all mishpacha. But in terms of halachic mishpacha, determining a shevet, so that only depends on the father, doesn't depend on the mother. So based on Parshas Pinchas, there's no reason to believe that a person should be Yorish's mother. So the Gemara B'Avos says, Yitaka, right? And based on Parshas Pinchas, Taka, there is no reason. Taka wouldn't be a din of Yerusha. So how do we know, the Mishnah says, Beferish and Yishnechlim, that a bein is Yorish's mother? What's the answer? It's a special Gzeir Sekosov. What does the Torah say? The Pasuk says, V'chobas Yoreshes Nachala, Mimatos B'nei Yisrael. The Torah says, in the end of Parshas Maaseh, speaking about the B'nos Slavchad, the Torah says, if you have someone who... Someone who doesn't have any brothers, and she's going to be Yorish, her father, so the Torah had a special Rosh Hashanah, she's got to marry into the Shevet, because you don't want you don't want the Yerusha to leave the Shevet. That was a special din that only applied at that time, the Dor Bai Haaretz. It doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. Let's say a person knows what Shevet they're from. Say a girl knows she's from Shevet Reuven, and she doesn't have any brothers, so she gets all Yerusha, so she doesn't have to look for Shida from Shevet Reuven. That din doesn't apply anymore. That would have been another question on the resumes. You have to fill out which Shevet you belong to, because you can only marry to your Shevet. Are you a Basi Reshes Nachla Baruch Hashem? We got out of that problem. Okay, good. We only have 6,000 other questions. What elementary school you went to, and who you played with when you were in 2 years old. Okay, but not for now. So Rabbi said, getting back to this, leaving the cynicism behind. Back to this, Rabbi said. So the Torah says, "Achidish haTorah v'chabasi resh es nachala," that a daughter can be yoresh mimatas bnei Yisrael. Matas bnei Yisrael is a double lashon that you yoresh two shvatim. Mimatas bnei Yisrael. Frankly, Markasha, how can you ever have a person be yoresh two matas? Either you're from Reuven or from Shimon. How can you get yoresh from two matas? So the answer is v'chabasi resh es nachala mimatas bnei Yisrael is teaching us that you yoresh the father and you yoresh the mother. So a girl can be Yorish, bein the father, bein the mother. So you see from here, there's a concept of Yerushas Ha'em. So we ask the Gemara, Ashichad Bas, bein Minayin. How do you know that a son can be Yorish's mother? So the Gemara says, the Kavah Chaymer. The Gemara says, Madach, a girl who usually is not Yorish, usually a girl second in line to Yerusha, and she has the ability to be Yorish, the mother. Kavah Chaymer, that the son, who's a great Yorish, can be Yorish's mother as well. So following all the dosteros, where Lasuk Rufir Aleph, the whole beginning of Yeshnoichlin, finally the Gemara comes to the realization that if everything is Olam Kimin Hagen, if everything is perfect and normal, when Rachel dies, so Yosef is going to get the Yerusha. That's what's supposed to happen, okay? So we'll put everybody in the right place over here. We'll move Yosef down a little bit, make him the son. Rachel dies. There's no question Yosef's going to get everything. Again, if there would be a husband, the husband would get for sure. Either the Raisa, the Rabbana, but there's no husband, so Rachel dies, Yosef gets it, Chabasi, Veshdachla, everyone's happy, okay? So far, so good. Let's make life a little bit more complicated before we start collapsing houses for a moment, all right? What if Yosef didn't exist? What if Rachel died without any children? Who would get the Yerusha? Then what would happen? So then we'd have to go back to Hilchos Mishpacha. She would have to go find her other relatives. She'd have to either send it back to her father or to her brothers or her uncle or cousins. You go back to the regular rule, so to speak, of Hilchos Mishpacha. Okay? Fine. So we know the different options. And the woman dies, husband is first, then the children, son, daughter, whatever it is, and then if those don't exist, back to Mishpacha. What would the halacha be if Rachel had a son, Yosef, and Yosef has other brothers? Okay? Let's say Yosef has a brother. We don't want Benjamin here. I'll not take that example. We want Reuven. Okay? Yosef's brother Reuven. Now, Reuven happens not to be related to Rachel at all, right? Because Yosef and Reuven share a what? Share a father. So, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make that? So, we'll make. What? Yeah. We'll make Yaakov. At one time, was married to Rachel. Then Yaakov had another wife. It's even the names are working out. Begali, okay? Yaakov married to Leah, so let's make the lines a little bit better. You guys see where I'm coming from, okay? Yaakov and Rachel had one child, Yosef. Yaakov and Leah had another child, Reuven. Yaakov's gone because we don't want Yaakov to mess up our case, because if he's around, there's nothing to discuss. Then we go home and everyone leaves for Sunday. So Yaakov's gone. There's no Yerush Tabal over here, okay? So let's play it out over here. Rachel has Yosef. So again, we know if Rachel dies, Yosef's going to get the Yerusha. What if Yosef died first? Okay? Yosef was the first one to die. And now what happens? Now Rachel dies. Where does Yerusha go? Based on everything we know about Hilchos Yerusha, what should happen to the Yerusha? Well, where should it go? So we said before, right, remember back here, we said that if somebody is no longer alive and they get into money, they get a Yerusha, so they kick the Yerusha down to the next generation. What do we call it? Mishmash Nachla, right? It's the first sig in Yesh Nachla. So that's the principle that the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, because the Gemara goes Mishmash Nachla. You could be Yerush Bekever. Mishmash Nachla and Yerush Bekever is the same thing. You could be Yerush Bekever, Lahanchil to somebody else. So based on the regular rules of Mishmash Nachla, what should happen over here is that if Yosef dies first and then Rachel dies subsequently, what should happen? Well, the Yerusha should go down to Yosef. Yosef is no longer alive. So the Yerusha should then go and switch over to Reuven. Reuven is not related to Rachel at all. What does that do with me? Right? What's it about? Still, Mishmash Nachla. So Reuven and Yosef, they're brothers in Ahav. So this should be a no-brainer, right? Rachel dies. After Yosef died, the Yerusha should go to Yosef. Yosef's dead. He should shoot the Yerusha over to Reuven. That's what the Din L'Chayrish should be. What does the Gemara say in the very end of Baba Basra? What does it say? Kuftan Tassim Baba Basra? Gemara has the following cloud. Ein habein yorish es ima bekever lahanchil achin min ha'av. That's the name of the principle. Ein habein yorish bekever lahanchil achin min ha'av. That a son does not have the ability to be yorish bekever. He does not have the ability to get an inheritance while he's dead. He's literally bekever. To get it and to shoot it over to the other brothers, that doesn't work. So what the Gemara tells us is that the principle of Mishmash Nachla, that is the ABCs of Hilchos Yerusha, somehow fall short when it comes to Yerusha Sa'im. That's the cloud of the Gemara. So it's a long, long cloud. Ein Habein, Yerush, Bekev, L'chan, Chalach, Menav. That's another way of saying that Yerusha Sa'im, Ein Mishmash, be Yerusha Sa'im. Okay? That's the absolute Yisrael. Yisrael, that's the Gemara at the beginning of Mishnah, the Gemara at the end of Mishnah Meis. Klal Gola permeates the last 50 blot of Abbasra, is that this is the exception to the rule of Mishmash. There's no Mishmash be Yerusha Sa'im. Why not? Why is there no Mishmash in Yerusha Sa'im? Shoot up to Reuven. Yeah, Yaakov's dead. Yaakov's gone. Oh, you want to know why there was in Yaakov Yoresh when he was dead? Very good, because there's another klal called Ein Mishmash be Yerusha Sa'im. Okay, good. That's the answer to your question. Good. Okay. So, is this didn't make sense to you? Are you okay with this halacha? Ein aben yosh became hachal achem and av. Ein mishmash yerusha. Who held yesh neichon? Yesh neichon. How many years ago? 3 years ago. 3 years ago. No. What do you say? How do you know this din? The Feresh Gemara in 5 different places in the Basra. So the Gemara quotes pesukim for it, but does it make sense to you? Is there a svar to this? Does it make any sense? So Tosfos points out at the beginning of yesh neichon that it makes a lot of sense. And that's why I gave you some of the introduction to Hilchos Yerusha before. And again, we're trying to learn about the Metzi right now. We're still trying to get back to Shnayim Avos Metalos, but we can't begin to understand the Taisis unless we understand all this. Comes Taisis in Baba Basra and says, this din makes perfect sense. Because after all, where do we find the din of Mishmash? Where did Mishmash Nachla come from? Anyone know what's the mark of a Mishmash Nachla? It's a Gezeres HaKrasim, a Bein Ein Lo Ein Alav. It's a special pasuk that appears in what Parsha? In Parsha as well. Where's the Ikadin of Nachla? Where is the Parsha of Nachla found? Ishki Amosu Bein Ein Lo. The Ikadin of Nachla. Parsha's Pinchas. Okay? The Ikadin of Nachla, the Din of Yerusha appear in 3 places in Chumash. They appear in Parsha's Pinchas, that's the main thrust of the Yerusha. Then you have this Din of Chumbas, Yereshas Nachla, Matis Bnei Yisrael, the Din of Yerusha, Sambein, Biabas, Benichsia Eim is in Parsha's Maaseh. Then in Parsha's Kiseitz, you have the Din of Pishnayim for a Bechor. But the main thrust of Parsha's Yerusha is in Parsha's Pinchas, but Benot Slavcha. So in the Parsha of Benot Slavcha, the Torah says, Ish Kiyamus Ubein Ein Lo. Person dies and doesn't have a son. So the Torah Shemapet tells us that the word Ein Lo is a double meaning. It means ayin a love. What does ayin mean? You learn the ear. You learn the ear. You look in. You really look deep. You look deep. You look beneath the surface. That's what we try to do. We read Mishnayos. We read Gemaras. We make up things that don't exist. Ayin, that's what it means to learn the ear. So that's what the Gemara says. Ayin lo, ayin a love. is even though the son isn't here, even though the person is not alive in this world, you got to look hard and see, is he here? Maybe he is here. How is he here? Maybe he left the son behind. Maybe he left the child behind. If a person leaves the child behind, so he's here. So ayin alav, you got to look hard, you got to look hard. That's the din of Mishmash Nachala. That's the drasha, ayin lo ayin alav in Mishmash Nachala. Kam Stoyz and says, the din of Mishmash Nachala is found in Parshas Pinchas. So Zap Taisus, these are two different Parshas of Yerusha. There's one din of Yerusha of Parshas Pinchas. Those are dinim that are neveya that emanate from the din of Mishpacha. So I'm Yeresh my father, I'm Yeresh my father's brother, and I'm Yeresh my first cousin to the father, and my son is Yeresh me. All the dinim of Yerusha that revolve around the din of Mishpacha, which are rooted in Parshas Pinchas, that's one Parsha of Nachla. And then there's a different Parsha of Yerusha the Gamay, that's Parshas Masev, Chabasi, Meshas Nachla, not this brain's throat. There's a din of Yerusha Sa'im, even though Yerusha Sa'im really doesn't make any sense. Yerusha Sa'im has to be a separate parasha. It can't be part of Parshas Pinchas because it's missing the basic prerequisite of Parshas Pinchas, namely the din of Mishpacha. I'm not from the shade of my mother. I really don't have any rights to the Yerusha of my mother. It's a step, a quirk. It's Exeris HaKosov. So Zok Taisus, the din of Mishmash Nachla is a din of Parshas Pinchas. When you're in Parshas Pinchas Tikkun Nachla, then Mishmash Nachla was Niskadash HaTorah. When you're not in Parshas Pinchas, when you're in Parshas Masay, it says in the Chumash, Chobasi Reshas Nachla. A Bas and a Bain is a Kavachomer. A child is Yerish. A child is Yerish when the child is alive. If Yosef is standing here alive and well, then he's Yerish. If he's dead, who said dead people are Yerish? Chumash Shagas is that. A dead person is Yerish. How can a dead person be Yerish? A dead person can only be Yerish based on this quirk of Ayin Lo, Ayin Lo, Ayin Lo, Ayin Lo. But this din is on his Chadish and Pashas Pinchas, not a Pashas Masay. That's what Taisa says. Rish Tabal, it happens to also be in Parshas Pinchas, and according to those who say it's Deraisa, but it's at the end of the Parshas. The Yerush I saw, it's a different, it's not a din of Mishpacha. It's a quirk that was just thrown into Parshas Pinchas for good luck. So in the end, the Gemara learns that from other Pesukim, the Tach, it doesn't apply to Keter. Rabbi Sai, can we save even more? Can we make this even better? Again, we need this introduction. We have to understand this. Otherwise, we can't start the houses caving in if we don't understand the ABCs. If we make this even sharper, even clearer, why is it that there's a din of Mishmash Nachla dafka here and not over here? What's it all about? So could one suggest the following? Yesh Lachor, more than raise a fundamental question. What is the nature of this halacha of Yerusha Sabain, Yerusha Sabas, that a person is Yerusha mother? A person is Yerusha mother. It's a pella. There's a thing called Yerusha Sa'im. It really doesn't make any sense because the ABCs of Yerusha is Mishpacht of Yerusha, so Mishpacht is Av, Kri Mishpacht, Shach Sa'im, Eni Kri Mishpacht. Comes the Torah in Parashas Maase and says, V'chobashin Res Nachla, and the Torah says, okay, guess what, guys? There is a din of Yerusha Sa'im. So Yesh Lach, I want to raise the following question. What's the nature of this Chiddush HaTorah that there's Yerusha Sa'im? Is Pshat that the Torah is telling me that notwithstanding the fact that Yerusha is usually dependent upon Mishpacha, this is the quirk, this is the Yaitzeh Ben HaKlal, that this is a type of Yerusha that even though there's no Mishpacha and it really should have fallen short, that this kind of Yerusha is going to work. You don't ask many kashas, it's Mishpacha's aim, it's not Mishpacha's av, you're right, it doesn't make any sense, but that's what the Torah says. The Torah's been galling to me that this is also a din Yerusha. So it's fundamentally the same, even though it's missing this criteria of Mishpacha. Well, maybe one could say a different part, Lagama. Maybe one could argue that it's based on an entirely different picture. The Hava Bina was really good. The Kasha was really stark. There's no reason to why there should be Yerusha of a mother. It doesn't make any sense. She's not Mishpacha, she's not related to me. So why am I Yerush? Why is the person Yerush's mother? It's a Chiddush HaTorah. It's not Yerusha. It's a different halacha. There's a different type of halacha that a son or a daughter takes over the mother's property. Don't call it Yerusha. Call it something else. What do you want to call it? We're looking for a term. We're looking for a halachic term. We don't want to call it Yerusha. What can we call it? We're not going to call it Yerusha. So you have to look at other areas of halacha. We find there's a concept where sometimes a child steps up in place of the parent and it's not quite Yerusha. It's not a regular din of Yerusha. We learned at the beginning of Yesh Nachla. What's it called? It's a different term. It's not called Yerusha. So there are very unique halachas that a child can do certain things but makom the parent. Things that other people can't do. Anyone know? So there's a sugya that says like Evet Ivri, that if a person dies and left behind an Evet Ivri, so an Evet Ivri is can work for the child, but the Evet Ivri doesn't work for other Yerushim. There's no Yerusha in Evet Ivri. So how come he works for the child? Anyone knows what that's called? Huh? About two words for that. called kom tachtov. The Gemara at the beginning of Yeshua Nechon says, a child is kom tachas ha'av. He's taking the place of the parent. It's not that he's yeirish the evidivri. There's no yirusha evidivri. He's not dinim ominous. You're not yeirish in evidivri. You come tachtov the hilchas evidivri. Well, the Gemara Lamashal is a din of steachuza. Right? Remember the sugya from steachuza? Also in the beginning of Baba Basra. So it was a complicated sugya based on the psuk from the end of Parshas Bechukosai. But the Torah says if a person is makdish a field that was part of his inheritance, and now it was sold to the base of Mikdash, redeemed it, and now it Yetzer B'Yovel, a whole story about if I redeem it myself, that's one halacha. If a stranger redeems it, that's a different halacha. So the Gemara says if a person dies and his child redeems it, that's like he redeemed it also. It was a special drasha, a special pasuk. V'imachas asadl ish achel le'igol od. If the Beis HaMikdash sold it to somebody else, then he can't be pointed anymore. But if he sold it to the son is like the father. He's not called an acher. You know why? Because it's the same pismen, the same story. It's kam tachtov. Well, the Gemara says another din of kam tachtov, a din of you. There's a din that if a person buys an amal ivriyah, so he can be mekadesha without actually giving her money. It's a special kedushin called kedushin yud. What does the Torah say? Vivnu yi adena. He can be miyayah to the daughter, to the son also. What kind of din is that? Bishmama, I bought the Evidivri. How does my son, I'm Morish the Evidivri. I'm sorry, I'm Morish the Amma Ivriya. There's no Yerusha by an Amma Ivriya. What kind of halacha is that? So Gemara says, these are all examples of kam tachta. These are a different type of halacha. These are nothing to do with Yerusha. There are dinim in the Torah that are predicated on the assumption that a child steps up to the plate, steps up in the, fills the footsteps, fills the shoes of his parents. Kam tachas aviv. So maybe one could argue that this din of Yerusha Sabein as a aim, or Yerusha Sabas as a aim, is not a din of Yerusha. It's Bechala Yerusha. It can't be Yerusha. Yerusha is on the Mishpacha. There's a separate, unique halacha called Kam Tachtov. If that's the case, then I understand Misvara, why there's no Mishmush. Mishmush is a Chiddush in Uchas Yerusha. Mishmush means that I am the son, so whatever my father can do, I can do. Mishmush. Whatever my father could do, my cousin could do. I'm not doing anything. That has nothing to do with Kam Tachtov. When you're in Kashas Yerusha, so the Torah says the money's flying all over the place. It flies to the kever, into the kever, out of the kever. It goes all around from one cousin to another cousin. People alive, people dead. The money moves around, shifts around. That's when you're in the realm of Yerusha. When you're in the realm of Kam Tachtov, it's a one-person relationship. A son is Yerusha mother. The daughter's marriage, your mother finished. That's it. The concept of mishmash doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not a din of Yerusha. So whether you want to say it like Tosis's, version that this din really makes a lot of sense because it's exeris hakosav. Einol einolav is exeris hakosav in Parshas Pinchas, and it's not exeris hakosav in Parshas Matos in my Parshas Maaseh. Or if you want to juice it up a little bit and say that it's more than that, it's not just exeris hakosav, but a pidin, it's a radically different halacha. It's not a din of Yerusha, it's a din of kam tachtov. No matter how you slice it, the din is true. Ein abein yerush as a aim of bekevel hanchel yachem in av. That basically this principle ein mishmash yerush as a aim is an absolute yisaid. How you say this, no matter what the reason behind it is, that's the basic premise of this entire sugya. Wait, who's Reuben here?
Reuben is the same father as
Joseph. No, we're talking about Rachel. Rachel died. Rachel, Reuben's not comes up as Rachel. He's not even related to Rachel. So we want to know, when Rachel dies, can Yosef shoot the Yerusha over to Reuben? Yosef's dead already. Right. So if you hold us, it didn't have come talk to him. Yosef's come talk to Rachel. Reuben's not come talk to Rachel. Okay? Just as an aside, we're not really learning about Vasa, but just we mentioned it. Everyone know what the answer to this question is? So, Taka, what is it? Is Yerusha's Ha'aim, just another din of Yerusha, even though it didn't really make any sense, but it's a Chiddush HaTorah that's still called Yerusha. Well, do we say, no, it's a radically different halacha. It has nothing at all to do with it was Yerusha. Everyone know what the answer to that question is? Interesting, Chakira. So there's a sugya in the beginning of Yesh Nechlin that quotes Machlekes HaTanoim about what's the din, let's say a regular case, Rachel dies, and she has a child, Yosef. And not only does she have a child, Joseph, she has a girl also. She has a daughter, Esther. Okay? So Rachel dies and she has a boy and a girl, Joseph and Esther. Who gets the Yerusha? Who gets the Yerusha? It's Machlekes HaTanoim. So the Chachamim's opinion is a bein is karim lebas. A bein is always karim lebas. Of course, Reuven Yosef gets all Yerusha, has to get Zippo, gets nothing. And there's one Tana who disagrees. Who remembers the Tana? Come on, Yishnochlin guys. It looks like some time for Chazor ben Abbas these days. Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. Remember? No, is the name ring a bell? Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav disagreed with the Chachamim, and he said no. He said, "Bein v'bas yoshin v'shovin." Right? Remember now? Right? I know. Remember? Vaguely. Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav says that bein v'bas yoshin v'shovin v'nichsei ha'em. They split when it comes to the nichsei ha'em. So the Gemara says of this. Then Pesukim and Kavachim is in Drushas and Akeshiv. A very, very detailed machlokes in Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav and the Rabbanan, how each one got to their position. But in terms of lamdas, in terms of conceptually, what are they really arguing about? Why is it that the Chum say that of course bein karam l'bas? Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav says, no, not necessarily. Could be that they split. What's the answer conceptually? What it seems to be part of the machlekes? The din of Bein Karam Labas is a din of what? It's a din of Hukas Yerusha. Bein Ein Lo, Nesat Mesach Losu Levita. When there's no son, then you give to the daughter. Bas B'Bok Bein Ein Aklum. So the Chachamim say that the din of Yerusha Sa'im is also a din of Yerusha. Ayat Lachim Mishpach. Okay, it's a technical detail, but fundamentally it's the same as Parshas Pinchas. And therefore, the regular din of a bein karam labas spill over to Yerusha Sa'im as well. Whereas Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav seems to be taking a very, very radical view on Yerusha Sa'im. That Yerusha Sa'im is a different din. It's not Yerusha. We call Yerusha. What else are we going to call it? Elmo, what are you going to call it? Kamtachtav. It's such a clumsy way of saying it. So we call it Yerusha. It's in a Rambam in Hilchas Nachas. It's Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Yerusha. Where else are you going to put it? But it's not really, says Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. It's not the regular din of Yerusha. Harai, it's not Yerusha. Mishmash doesn't apply. And it's not Yerusha that the din of Bein Karam Labas doesn't apply as well. So again, when you learn the beginning of Yishnochlin, you got to really, really work on this hard, what the nature of the din of Yerusha's aim is all about. Again, this is all an introduction, it's all just above the Basra part of the sugya. So the normal circumstances, what's supposed to happen, again, if Rachel dies, Yosef is supposed to get the Yerusha. If Yosef died before Rachel, then we have a din of Mishmash Yerusha's aim, and therefore the Yerusha doesn't go over to Reuven. Where will it go if it's not going to go to Reuven? If it's not going to go to Reuven, Yosef's dead, where's it going to go to? Rachel's whose? Brothers, cousins, uncles, somebody in a father's family is going to go to eventually, okay? So that's the, you have to know, all this you have to know before you can open up the mission of Bavdas. Everyone knew all this before you opened up that Mishnah? Hopefully you found it out as you went along. But now we have to focus, zero in on this case. If the order of things are the way I just put it, that Yosef dies first and Rachel dies second, then we say, Ein Mishmash Rirusha Sa'em. What if we just change the numbers a little bit? What if Rachel dies first, and then Yosef dies, and then what's the din? When Rachel died, everything went to Yosef. So Yosef owns everything. It's all Nichsei Yosef. Rachel's gone. She's out of the picture. Now when Yosef dies, an hour later, where does the Yerusha go, obviously? Everything goes to Reuven. So that's not a violation of Ein Mishmash Yerusha Sa'im. It's all of Rachel's property, but it's not Rachel's property anymore. Once Rachel died and Yosef was still alive for a moment, Yosef got everything, and then it transferred over to Reuven as Nichsei Yosef, not as Nichsei Reuven, as Nichsei Rachel. So Rachel's property can't go to Reuven, but Yosef's property, of course, can. So it is now critical to know who died first. It's going to make all the difference in the world. Whether Rachel gets the one and Yosef gets the two, or Yosef gets the one and she gets the two, that's going to make all the difference in the world. Because again, if the order of things is... If the sequence of things is Yosef dies first and then Rachel dies, who's going to end up with the property? We'll give Rachel somebody else over here. We'll give her a cousin somewhere. Who we call him? Call him Moshe. Okay. Long lost cousin of we call him Lavan. Should we call him Lavan? Okay. Lavan, I'm going to pick him. Call him Moshe. Third cousin, but through the father, right? So if Yosef dies first and Rachel dies second, where's all the property going to go to? If Yosef died first and Rachel died second, where's the property going to go to? Thank you. That's very cool. Okay? If Rachel dies first and Yosef dies second, where's all the property going to go to? Who? Reuven. So lo and behold, Nafla Bayis Alav V'Al Ibo. Yosef and Rachel are sitting and having a nice mother-son chat about life, and all of a sudden the house caves in. Earthquake, tornado, the whole house collapses, and Nebuch, Rachmanel, the son, you come back an hour later and we see they're both dead. And we have no way of knowing who died first. So everyone's crying, but after the crying is over, Moshe and Reuven are ready to kill each other. You know why? because Rachel left $1 million. She's a very rich lady, Rachel. So the question is, who's going to get her Yerusha? So Moshe is screaming that I get the Yerusha. You know why? Because let me tell you what happened. I'm telling you that Yosef died first and Rachel died afterwards. Ein mishpush be Yerusha se'eim, and therefore I'm entitled to my long-lost cousin's Yerusha. And Reuben says, what are you talking about? My studies are pointing out that the opposite happened. And Rachel dies first, Yosef dies second, and therefore I'm entitled to all the property from my favorite half-brother, who I haven't spoken to in years, but somehow just came into a big Yerusha from his mother. So Moshe and Reuben are going at it. That's the Mishnah, okay? You got to know all that background. You got to know everything about Mishnah and a concept of the boss. You got to learn 50 blad in Yishnoichon to figure out what's going on. But the bottom line is, that's the dintar that's taking place. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do about such a dintar? You got to learn about the Basra well and figure out what do you do when you have Sveikis in Yerusha. So they're a klolim. What do? You follow Chazakos, you follow Sveikis, you have Sveikis, you have Sveikis. So basically what the Mishnah says in the Basra is it's a Sveikis Mammon. And then you got to plug in, what do you do, Tak, when you have a Sveikis in Yerusha? But it's like the Sveikis Mammon. Okay? Atkan Divi HaMishnah. Comes the Rashbam and throws a monkey wrench into the sugya. Comes the Rashbam and says, who is Rachel's other relative who's screaming at Reuven? So we made him a stranger, a guy from nowhere, mamish out of left field, we called him Moshe. But he could be somebody much closer. Who could he be? He could be a man by the name of Binyamin. Now why is that important that his name is Binyamin? Because he may be a descendant of. How am I going to do this? What? Rachel's got to be married to. Who do we need here? Yitzchak. Okay. They had a child, Binyamin. And guess what? Yitzchak's also gone, okay? So Yaakov's gone. Yitzchak says, no, Yerusha the Baal. We don't want Yerusha the Baal here. That's going to make things too simple. We want complications. So when Rachel dies, in the normal case of Rachel dying, what will happen to her Yerusha? It'll go to both of her children. Yosef will get 50%, and Binyamin will get 50%. To make matters complicated here, says the Rashbam, Binyamin's alive and well. So Nafal Abayis on Rachel and Yosef, Binyamin was in the next town. He wasn't here. He was learning in the sheep. He wasn't home when the house caved in. So Binyamin is alive and well. So now the Din Torah Moshe doesn't exist. We never heard of him in this case. Nafal Rashbam, what would the Din be if Binyamin came to a Din Torah with Reuven? What would that halacha be? Would anything change or not? So comes the Rashbam, l'chora, there shouldn't be much of a difference, right? L'chora, there shouldn't be much of a difference. Says the Rashbam, there's all the difference in the world. You know why, says the Rashbam? If Binyamin is the other Baal Din, let's say, for argument's sake, Yosef died first. Okay, so if Yosef died first, so no Yerusha goes to Yosef, he's out of the picture. Who gets the Yerusha? If Yosef died first. So we'll change the name here to Moshe. If Yosef dies first and then Rachel dies, who gets the Yerusha? The Yerusha gets how much of the Yerusha? 100%. Okay, 100% of the Yerusha. What if the other way around? What if Rachel dies first and then Yosef died? What happened to the Yerusha? Now it gets a little bit tricky. Okay? If Rachel dies first and Yosef died afterwards, well, no matter what happens, Binyamin gets what? What does Binyamin get? He gets 50% to start with, no matter what happens, right? Because when Rachel dies, automatically Yosef and Binyamin split. But now we're not sure what the order is, so what should happen now? Now we should say that Binyamin, we should throw another 25% in to Binyamin and give who? And give Reuven. I mean, it's a Suffolk, right? So we mean, it's a case for Suffolk, right? Let's say Vavas, backtrack for a second, okay? Let's say we know for a fact that Rachel died first, okay? If we know that Rachel died first, and then Yosef dies, so what happens to the Yerusha? What happens? Binyamin gets 50%, okay? Who else gets? Yosef gets 50%. Where does this 50% go when he dies? Goes to Reuven. So Binyamin's going to get 50, and Reuven's going to get 50, okay? That's if we know for a fact what happens. Everyone with us so far? Okay? Who's with us so far? Everyone's with us? Mostly with us? Okay. Now we run into problems. Now we have a suffix who died first. We don't know whether Rachel died first or Yosef died first. So tell me what happens. Who's going to talk us out? What happens? We don't know who dies first. Rachel or Yosef. No matter what, who's got money here? Binyamin's for sure got 50%. It's not even a shayla Binyamin. No matter how you slice, no matter who the house caved in on, Binyamin's got money. Okay, he's got part of the money coming to him. Now we're being done. Does Binyamin get the rest of the money? Or does Reuven get the rest of the money, depending on who died first? Comes the Rashbam and says, what klal will we plug into here? What's the name of the klal, Dr. Rashbam? Ein safik meitzi devadai. And therefore the Rashbam says, since Binyamin gets something, he for sure has his hand in the money, he's got some money on the way to the bank, Dr. Rashbam, Binyamin will get everything. Because Binyamin is a vadai, and Reuven is a safik. Ein safik meitzi devadai. That's what the Rashbam says. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, Yachloiku. Says the Rashbam, Zetman from da, that who's the other Baldin besides Reuven? The other Baldin is not who? Is not Binyamin. There is no Binyamin in the case. There is no other son. Who's the other Baldin? Who's the other Baldin? A good friend from last picture. Who? Moshe. So says the Rashbam, I'm going to give you no kimta in the Mishnah. Okay, a kibbutz in the Mishnah that Hokhav Ma'askid, and the fact that the Mishnah says Yachloku and doesn't apply the rule of Ein Safek Motzim Devadai, the reason is up to Rashbam because the Balei Adin are not Binyamin and Reuven. If we get to that Binyamin and Reuven be coming to a Din Torah, then we would say Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. The Balei Adin here, Binyamin doesn't exist, it's somebody else, it's a Reuven from left field. Reuven is not a Vada, Reuven is a 50-50. That's the only reason why the Mishnah makes any sense. So the Rashbam pushed a pshat into the Mishnah. He pushed no kimta, a doch into the Mishnah. Hachav v'mayaskinon, the Yeresh of Rachel is not Binyamin fighting. If Binyamin would have been fighting, he would have won the whole case hands down. Ain't Savit Masib Levada. That's what the Rashbam said. This Chiddush of the Rashbam was a very hot topic in France in the 1100s. Everybody was talking about this Rashbam. He was asked this question. They sent a letter. You know, they didn't write letters. It wasn't like today's email, text, every little silliness. You had to write a letter. You had to wait for the Pony Express. It was a real serious shayla. The Rabbi Seinu, who asked the shayla to the Rashbam, they asked this question to the head of the Rashbam. Who was it? Rabbi Seinu what? Who knows what that next word was? Rabbi Seinu, Shin Beis Lamed Vav Tav Yud Resh. So when I first learned Baba Basra, I remember thinking, what are the Rosh Davis? Sheyichye b'yameinu liyamim tovim v'arukim l'sha. I couldn't remember what the... Then I got a little bit older, I realized it's this town in France. Luther. Lothier, whatever they used to call it in Hebrew. Rabbi Seinu Sheba Lothier. The Rabbanim and Luther and Lothier, whatever it was, whatever the name of the French city was, they sent the Shaila to the Heiliger Rashbam to ask him what he thinks about this question. What would the din be? What's found in the Mishnah? And the Rashbam said, I'm telling you that the found in the Mishnah is Binyamin ain't here. If Binyamin's here, then the Mishnah's wrong. Because the Rashbam said, ain't something mitzvah devadai. Zik the Rashbam, how do I know ain't something mitzvah devadai? This case over here. So the Rashbam in one fell swoop said that this sugya in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches is the guiding principle behind this sugya in Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun Tes. And this Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches is forcing us in Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun Tes to knock Binyamin out of the picture. There never was a Binyamin here. What did I write up here? I wrote Reuven here? How did I do that? Sorry. The real guy here is Moshe. There's no Binyamin, there's got to be a Moshe, because otherwise ain't Savi Mitzvah Devadai. That's what the Rashbam sent as a letter. That was making the Pony Express rounds in France in the 1100s. Come to Balei HaTosfos and quote the Rashbam and say he's not right. Rashbam is not correct. Zok to Balei HaTosfos, is a loch partly where the Moshe is the Baldin or where the Binyamin is the Baldin? Say the Balei HaTosfos, this is a misapplication of the principle called what? Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. This has nothing to do with Ein Safek Motzim Devadai. And therefore, says Taisus, the Mishnah, you don't need to know Kimta, you don't need a Dochuk, it's a loch patli, who the other Baldin is? Safek Motzim Devadai does it 50s, 100s, none of this makes any difference. Say the Balei HaTosfos, it's a plain old Safek and a Safek, and therefore, Yechleiku, what it says in the Mishnah, it's a smother for the Safek, Yechleiku. So Machlekes Rashbam, that took us 45 minutes to understand the case, to get a background as to what the halachas of Mishmash Yerushas Aim are all about, to understand, just to draw out this case with all its convoluted, this looks guys, this looks more complicated than the greatest plays of a football game. This is complicated stuff here. Okay? The bottom line is Machloek is the Heiliger Reshbam against the other Bali Heiliger, also Heiliger Bali Tesis, about whether Ein Savik B'Tzevadei from Yevamas Tamachas makes any sense over here or not. And Afkamino Dina, who's the other Baldin? According to Reshbam, it can't be Binyamin. Binyamin would throw everything off because Ein Savik B'Tzevadei. And Tesis says, yeah, Binyamin, keep him alive and well. He's also part of the picture. Rabbi said, what's the Nekudas of Machloek in the Reshbam Tesis? Is the Reshbam right that Ein Savik B'Tzevadei carries over, or is Tesis right? The answer is very plushet. This machlekes, the Rashbam and Taisus, is the age old machlekes who and who? Rashi and Taisus and Yivam and Tafamachas. How do you define Sofek and Vaday? What criteria are you using for determining Sofek versus Vaday? Is it a question who's got money in the bank? Who's got a deposit to make? If you for sure have a deposit to make and the other guy doesn't, you're a Vaday, he's a Sofek? That's what Rashi said in Yivamas? Who's right? Who's right here? Rashbam's right. Binyamin is a Vade. Binyamin's got 50% of the Yerusha here. No matter what happens, no matter which house collapsed and who are we, if Binyamin is Rachel's son, Binyamin's got 50% of the Yerusha in his pocket. It doesn't matter how the house fell down. And therefore, the Rashbam is correct according to Rashi. Ain't seven months of the Vade. If you must change the case, bump Binyamin out of the picture. He never existed, and bring Moshe back to life. And the Balei Tais says, Balei Tais says, L'shitasam. When do we apply the principle of Ein Safek Motzei B'Dei V'Adai? When there's a Leidus HaSofek on the Etzem HaGavra. Who are you? What is your essence? What are you all about? Are you the son of Reuven? Are you the son of Shimon? Levi is a Gavra HaMutul B'Sofek. Levi doesn't know what his own Yichus is. He has a question mark over his very entity, his very existence. Shimon knows exactly who he is. I'm Yaakov's son. What do you want from me? I know exactly who I am. Levi doesn't know. My Shimon's son is my Reuben's son. He doesn't know. So that's called Ein Safek Motzei Vaday. A Safek Gavra can't be Motzei from a Vaday Gavra. Over here, everybody knows who they are. Reuben knows exactly who he is. Binyamin knows exactly who he is. Binyamin is Rachel's son. Reuben, I'm not Rachel's son. I'm Leah's son. Yaakov's my father. I got a half brother. He said, I don't know who you are, Rachel. You're my mother's co-wife. It's Sarah. Well, Sarah's everybody. Sarah's Yvonne. What are you going to do with me? Everyone knows who they are. What's the latest of Sofik, Rabbi say? What's the source of Sofik and Baba Basir Kufrin Tess? Does it have anything to do with the Kviya Shema Gavra? It has to do with what? With the Maisa Metzias and the Filas Abayas. We're lacking information as to how the house fell down. We don't know who got hit by the first beam. What does it have to do with the Shem Gavra? It's a different type of a Sofik Lagamre. It's true that Sofik impacts on dollars and cents, but Taisa says that's irrelevant. Ain't something what's with Dave Adler. So at the end of the day, Rabbi say everybody agrees that the din of Ein Safek Motzei Vaday din Momenus. There's no shaila about that. That's Yevamos Taflam Mechaz. What creates the criteria of Vaday and Safek is it mean a Safek of dollars and cents or a Safek in the Kviyah Shemagavra, and Yevamos isn't going to make a difference, but it makes all the difference in Baba Basra. It forced the Rashbam to learn the Sugya one way, and it enabled the Balei Tais to learn the Sugya another way. So now, with this background, now we have to begin. Metziah couldn't even start to understand the question of the Rishonim and HaMishnah. So we come to Mishnah, Shtayim, Eichzim, Metala, Zeham, Yakulu, Shalim, Zeham, Chetzi, Shalim, come to Rishonim and ask all of a sudden, Baruch Habus, Ein Safek Motzei B'Dei Vaday. Who's going to lose sleep over that kasha? Which Rishon's even going to be bothered with that kasha? Rashi, that's a very powerful question. Because one of the Bali Din has moments here. I got half a talis. No matter what happens, I'm walking home with half a talis. So according to Rashi, that's a very, very powerful question. According to Tosfos, not a question. Tosfos asked the question. You know why? Because Tosfos used it as an opportunity to tell you why it's not a question. Tosfos says, don't hack me at China when Ein Safek Motzei B'Dei Vaday. No, this is not the sugya of Ein Safek Motzei B'Dei Vaday. Tosfos doesn't explain to you why is it not the sugya. Tosfos tries to tell you something. Tosfos tries to say something. The Hasam Yavam Shubno Shel Saba V'Vaday Yerushev Lo Yotzi Asafek B'Safek B'Amayin V'Alhecha Ein Svar Mashum V'Vaday B'Chetzi Hashiyom Al Chetzi Hasheini. Lafini is daiti. If you look at the Lashon Tais in other places, but Tais sounds like they're driving at is exactly what we're saying. That the fact that I'm a Vaday on 50%, that gives me Vados on the other 50%. I don't have to do anything. Just because I got some money in my pocket, that means I get more money in my pocket. Tais says Rashi's prep doesn't make any sense. Tais says, Ein Safek Motzei Vaday is limited to a case where it's a Safek on the Etzem HaGavra, whether you're the person, what your entity is, what your essence is. That's called an Ein Safek Motzei Vaday. What does that have to do with Shnei Motzei B'Talos? So Tais says, yes, the Kasha, then showed you why it's not a Kasha. based on their understanding in Baba Basra and Yavamas as to what Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi means. But according to Rashi, who understood Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi different, the Heiliger Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, also worked with Ikfas Rashi. He followed a Zaydi. That's also called Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi. He said, that'll bite the Kasha. So now we got to begin to learn. But Metziyah Dav Beis, according to Rashi and the Rashbam's version of Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi, what happened here? Why don't we plug in the Kwal of Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi? So it took us over an hour just to understand, to appreciate the question, to understand the two mahalachim and the Rishonim about Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi. In passing, we picked up some nice, interesting information, hopefully about Mishmash Nachla and Yerushas Aim and Yerushas Atal, and a couple of odds and ends along the way. But the basic thrust, the Machlokes Rashi and Taizim Yevamis, Taizim Rishbam and the Balei Taizim of the Basra, according to one group of Rishonim Taizim, there's no Kasha in Asugya basically at all. But the Rashi and the Rishbam have light for the Kasha, open the Shem tomorrow. We have to understand our Asugya from the vantage point of Rashi and the Rishbam. Why is it? What technical reason is preventing us from applying the principle of Ein Tzavik Vatzivadi back? Okay, stop here.